One of the things that deadens a man's life, that quenches his fervency, is when he is not conscious of the imputed righteousness of God that we carry. One of the quiet things that make people to become lukewarm in their attitude to sin is when they do not have a clear sense of the white garment that God has put upon us when he forgave us. I suddenly felt, and it's very strong in my mind, that when a man loses the sense of God's holiness in his life, he can rubbish himself. When you suddenly forget that you're a city set on a hill that cannot be hid, anything can go. You can easily compromise. So I found Jesus saying, in order for you to be zealous, in order for you not to be lukewarm, one of the things I counsel you is that buy of me white raiment. Now, I would have treated that as say, oh, come and collect the righteousness of God. But when he used the word white raiment, what it does to me was that I want you to have a sense of who you are. A sense of where I have placed you. A sense of what God has put in your life. When a man forgets the value of the grace of God on his life, he can easily misbehave. And I'm just praying for myself that I will not lose a sense of God's grace on my life. We were lecturers in Kasinala. And because I had made big noise, you know, I made big noise on the campus. If I see any of the girls that I have preached to, if I see one of these other lecturers, and I have several of them that are reckless, when I see them pursuing some of the girls, even if I have not preached to those girls yet, and I see a lecturer trying to do something, even though I wasn't going that road, I will reverse and I will pass and I will put up my full light. I will just put full light. Say, dim your light, dim your light. Say, get away from there.
It's Mr. Canadian. I say, my ear is confused.
So, a copper was posted to come and teach in a nearby school. And one of my colleagues, a senior principal lecturer, noticed that two girls have just been posted to the college. So they went for hunting. So when these girls, and they have been moving with them, they started. But we also used to go for hunting. So when I also learned that some new girls, new coppers have arrived, grabbed my Bible, we went. Somehow I preached, and these two girls repented. Somehow, as they gave their life to Christ, it looks as if God really hooked them. So So they started coming for Bible study, and then the principal of that school and this my colleague were doing birthday, and they invited these children, these girls. So they went for birthday party. So the girls have asked me, I say, Mr. So-and-so has asked us for his birthday. What do we do? We know what they wanted is that they want to carry us out. That's why they're inviting us for birthday. I said, did you promise that you are going? He said, we have already told them that we are coming. In fact, they are coming to pick us at 7. Oh God, how will I scatter this? I said, okay. So when you go, when they get there, the first thing you should do, tell him that you want to sing happy birthday to the man. Okay. So when this one is singing, say, okay, before we do anything, we would like to pray. It worked like magic. When the guests got there, they have set everything under blue light. Blue light. Wicked men. Blue light. So these two young sisters said, before we start anything, we think that we need to thank God for giving our principal another year. They say, okay, let us pray. So this girl stood up with this curious prayer that scattered the birthday party. He said, oh Lord, we thank you that our principal was born once. But you said in your word that unless a man be born again, because if a man is born once, he will die and die again. But if a man is born again, he will not die anymore. Lord, why we thank you that our principal was born once, but if he is not born again, he will die and die and perish. Lord, please do something today, that today also may be the second birthday of our principal, in the name of Jesus. The other girl said, amen! Wow. How did I know? The whole thing scattered. The children took over. They started praying. I said, look, sir, you need to repent. You just have to repent. You are old. Look at this age. At this your age, you need to think, oh, you know what they did? They chased the guests out. They said, go away, we know you are confused. Now, I didn't know this. I was still waiting for the guests to come and report to me. So I was now going in the campus, and I saw this, my colleague, senior principal lecturer. I just said, oh, good morning, lecturer. Don't greet me. I said, what have I done? He said, you scatter things. What did I scatter, sir? He said, no, don't greet me. We saw your handwriting. I said, what is it? So you know. You always cause confusion for people. Eh? This campus is not enough for you. You have also gone to government college. I said, to do what? He said, we know. Those guests were speaking yesterday as if they have been going for your Bible study. I said, so something scattered yesterday. You scattered it. It was a quarrel with me. I was wondering what. So one day these two girls were coming for Bible study in the house, and the principal was riding his car. So he gave them a lift. He thought they were going to market. They said, no, we are going to Brother Gbile's house. If you want, can you drop us there? Car reluctantly. He brought them and dropped them at my door. When the sisters entered, I came out to greet him, to say, thank you very much. He said, don't greet me. He said, run up and down. We chase these guests. They will not listen to us. They are coming voluntarily to your house. What did you give them? What did you give them? Hey. Now, do you know what that did to me? It gave me a sense of importance. I know I'm not an ordinary man. I suddenly discovered that so they discussed me in their circle. I am the one obstacle that they have that don't allow them to operate freely. So I realized that when they see me and they shout, sometimes we're in an academic board meeting and I'm making this, they say, oh no, don't bring that kind of thing here. I say, look, we are talking about academic here. They say, no. It was then I knew. So when Jesus said, buy of me white raiment, white, to give you a sense of who you are. You know, the reason why you don't want to keep your fire is that you don't know who you are. The reason why you could allow yourself to be manhandled or mishandled is because you forget that you are wearing white. I found that when Jesus said, buy of me white raiment that you may be clothed, I realized that he's saying, yes, let me give you a sense of worth. Every time you wear white, white has a dignity that no other cloth has. Have you noticed that? Once somebody is in white, it may not be a costly white, but just because it's white and it's white, white, there's a respect that comes near him. He instead doesn't go near red oil anyhow. Isn't it? When he's coming in, people will deliberately say, oh no, let me quickly clean this for you because you are wearing white. Do you know the white raiment that Jesus gives us keeps us on fire? And he said, come, buy of me white raiment that you may be clothed. That your wickedness, your nakedness is not exposed. You are not ashamed. So I found that those who remain fervent, they were conscious of what they carry. Hallelujah. So when I realized that, so my quiet witnessing about, and as young people are getting converted, coppers, they are taking what I taught them seriously, and all these big people with big money, they are envious. They say, Kai, what did you do to them? One of the very top leaders in the college got annoyed with me one time because some of the young persons they were aiming at already got into the hand of Jesus Christ. And they were so bold about it. And when the word of God is touched them, one day, my provost of blessed memory called me. Said, Mr. Akane, we see your hand. I said, where, sir? Where, sir? And he said, we see your hand. You are not allowing us to operate. To operate, sir. You are in charge of this place. Yeah. We know where we are. Oh, you know how I feel. I feel as an important man. So I know that people fear my voice. So for that reason, I will not soil it. I became more conscious that this fire must not die. It became clear to me that so if they find one mistake I make, they will jump and say, huh? It made me to be overconscious that I'm wearing white. Can I beg you to keep fervent? You must not forget what God has put in your life and where you are. Don't take it for granted. Many, many Christians can easily misbehave because they forget the testimony of the Lord in their lives. So he said, buy of me white raiment. An emphasis on white. It brings you out there. It sets you out there. And it gives you a dignity that is not natural. It's the dignity of his righteousness. How can I keep fervent? I must keep knowing that what I wear is God's own righteousness. And I'm going with it everywhere. Praise the Lord. Do you understand to that point? How many of you have ridiculed your life because you forgot that you're a city set on a hill? How many of you have allowed yourself to be drawn into some wrong habit because you are unconscious of the Lord you represent? How can I keep fervent? I must maintain spiritual fervency by recognizing the white raiment that he has put upon me. It's not by my hard work. It's not by my righteousness, but by his grace alone. Would you like to disgrace God who has put grace on your life? Eh? No way. No way. Now, finally on that, it says, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. You wonder, how can that keep a man fervent? Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, where there is no vision, what did the Bible say people do? They perish. I found that one of the things that makes a lot of people to lose their fire is lack of singleness of eye. They have lost the vision of what they are meant to be. They have got themselves with double eye. They no longer see clearly, they see double. And the Bible says, if your eye be double, how dark will your darkness be? So he said, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Brothers, sisters, there's something that keeps a man fervent when his vision is clear. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know, but I want to tell you. Get a clear vision for what you want to be. Get a clear vision for what God wants to make you. Others may dissipate. Others may branch here and there. A man with a clear vision will continue to advance. One of the things that I found that kept Jesus to overcome all the distraction that came on his path is that his eyes were single on what God has called him to do. In fact, he set his face like a flint. You can't divert him. Jesus was a man of unbroken focus. You may say, but how does that make a man fervent? I want to tell you, if there's a vision that God has placed in your life that you are pursuing, it generates fire. But when you lose your vision, my brother, you are just dissipating, you are just moving in between, you are just doing things that came, you may find yourself become lukewarm. What is the blessedness of a vision? It keeps a man focused. It keeps a man concentrated. It keeps him on course. And it measures every little form of deviation in his life. But where there is no vision, you can languish. You can dissipate without knowing. You can be dragged here, you can be dragged there until you lose your fire. Praise the Lord. And I want to tell you, you are not too young to have a vision. What did I say? You aren't too young to have a vision. I don't know how it happened, but I found that there were some little things that kept some of us on fire. Somehow, as I was getting to the university, because of the experience I've been having with God, and because I have been involved going up and down, you don't know what I decided. I said, I didn't even know that there would be a fellowship on campus. The picture they told us is that when you get to campus, that's where people backslide. That's the picture. You know, those of us that are coming from the village fellowship, they told us that when you get there, that's how they will be talking big English and they will forget Christ. I remember the night they were sending us off from our local fellowship, they say, don't forget Christ. You are going to the world of liberty. Don't let the liberty of this world make you to lose your liberty in Christ. They say some of the brothers that were with us, because they have gone to university, they are too proud to come for fellowship. I didn't know whether it was jealousy that was behind that message or something, but I was prepared with a bias. So as I was entering, I remember, you know, in our own days, university is different. Your letter of admission was posted to you. The date of resumption was put there. Your hall of residence was put and your room. And as we were arriving like this, porters were at the hostess to collect your bag to go and check you into your room. Yes. Those were our days. And every Friday, all our dirty clothes, you just drop it. And they will come and carry it and wash and iron it and bring it. Nothing was lost. Every morning your beddings were made. You just need to wake up, take your bath, go for your lectures, go to the cafeteria, eat, and then everything is made for you. Those were the days. But I was told, say, that's where people went and they lost their faith. Don't let them conquer you, conquer the campus. That was what we came with. So as soon as I dropped my bag, and the porter led me to my room, wooden block, room D5. As soon as I dropped my bag, I knelt and I said, Father, I have come. Take over. Take over in the name of Jesus. Take over. I said, I was not going to sit down until I have first of all taken over the 10 rooms in the wooden block. I carry tracts. I'm going room to room. Yes. Good evening. I want to tell you that Jesus loves you just to give you this tract. So I say, JJC, you have just come. What are you talking about? JJC. Oh, come and see. And I was going, you know, I was already prepared that nobody will conquer me, I will conquer that place. So I was going. One of them said, who told you that I'm not a Christian? I said, whether you're a Christian or not, you must be saved.
said, don't be rude. When did you come here? I said, I don't mind. It's JJC. Huh? You know, that was the first time I knew university jests. Oh, university boys can make jest of you, and you will go to your corner and you will weep for nothing. But as I was going from room to room, you see, I knocked another room, and there was this Brother Sam. You can remember him, his Brother Sam. He opened. He listened to me as if he was not born again. He was the first one that listened to me. All others pushed me out. So I talked and talked. I thought I was winning a combat. When I finished talking, he said, bro, I am born again. Have you just come on this campus? I said, yes, I just arrived. Then he told me, he said, look, we have a fellowship in the hall, and I would like you to come tomorrow evening. I said, So you are Christian. So we prayed together. He came to know my room. Meanwhile, my roommates, they are stark unbeliever. When I need them to pray like this, and I'm praying, they will put up their disco. It will be doing jo, 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 ji, 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 ja. The room is vibrating. And sometimes when I need them, I'm praying, some of them will bring their knee like this and hit my yard. She said, look, we are not here for prayer. We are here for school. You know, it's no problem. But what I'm dealing with was this. You keep your fire because you have kept your vision. When you lose your vision, there's nothing that can stop you from losing your fire. Your vision and your fire, they are twins. Everybody that has lost their fire, the first thing they lost was their vision. Are you hearing me? People have become dissipated. Some have now entered business. Some have now entered into different things. They are now going up and down. Some are now lost in America. What is the problem? They lost their vision. Vision and fire, they go together. Actually, it's your vision that fires you. A man that has no vision has no outlet for fire. So he said, buy of me, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. That thing that keeps a man's eye sharp, that is that keeps your vision focused. Out of that desire, I wanted to win my hostel. From room AA1 to A98, Melambi Hall, we are going from room to room, putting tracts, speaking. Before you know it, even if people will not repent, they don't tamper with you again. As I'm passing, they say, brother, pray for us. So, because of that, they are helping me to keep my fire. Because as I'm passing, they say, pastor, pray for us. Some are saying it to make jest of me, but because they are saying it, it makes me conscious of who I am. Hallelujah. Amen. Brothers and sisters, your vision will keep your fire. And I'm saying to you, if you are a Christian, what are you a Christian for? You must have a vision. It's not enough to say, well, I'm in uni a Greek. For what? What's your vision? What do you want to be remembered that you passed through this place for 5 years?
personal thing is your life going to be remembered for? These are issues. That's what keeps your fire. And as your vision expands, your fire glows. Are you together with me? Do you know there are many, many villages in the host community around your university? Eh? Eh? Do you know that if you catch a vision of just going, as you go, as you are touching lives, as you are meeting people, as you are praying for them, as you are preaching the gospel, your fire will be growing bigger, 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 bigger. Some say, but you know, if I keep going like that, I will fail my exam. I spoke to the leaders today. I say, A correct leader is fervent. And the first place of his fervency is in his academics. Hallelujah. Christ does not make a man less than excellent. Your vision of what you want to be for God will keep you aflame. May God help you in the name of Jesus. So he said, the one that I love, I rebuke. Therefore, be zealous. Do you know the word zealous? There's some time I don't understand how to interpret some words in English. So I go to my mother tongue. And I found that the meaning of zealousness in my mother tongue is be on fire. There is no how they describe zeal in our local language outside fire. Even if you take it in thief language, you will find that it has to do with fire. There is no zeal without fire. So when it says be zealous, what it means is that be fervent, be on fire, be on fire. Praise the Lord. Now, let's take the final point here and then I will release you so that we can pray together. Now, what is that point? If you look at it still, that chapter 3, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Which means to keep being fervent spiritually. I told you at the beginning that it's a battle. Abi? And that those who maintain their fire is because they have overcome. It means then that there are several things that are all out to quench your fire. The first thing that quenches a man's fire is lack of action. What do I call it? Eh? Lack of action. Leave something inactive, it will cool down. Eh? If water is doing good, 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 like this, good, good, like this, let nobody trouble you. I mean, trouble it. What will happen to it? It will set. The first thing that you must overcome is inaction. Doing nothing. To do nothing is to endanger your fire. Are we together? Let me tell you this. Even if you are not committing sin, are you hearing me? You are not committing sin, you are trying to be holy, but you are doing nothing with your holiness, you will still go down. Inaction or inertia is the first thing you must overcome if you want to keep spiritually fervent. If there is nothing to do, create it. Hallelujah. There were these young men that Jesus met in the marketplace. He said, Why is it that you stand all day idle? What did they say? Say, nobody has engaged us. That's why they were wasting their lives. Let me inform you, to keep your fire in action, idleness will quench it. So the first thing to overcome is lack of action. How do I overcome in action? I must deliberately engage my spirit in an exercise. Hallelujah. So you know, Paul was speaking. He was speaking to Thessalonians. He was speaking to the people in Hebrews. And for the Thessalonians, he said, be fervent in the spirit. Quench not the spirit of God. Did he say something like that? How can you quench the spirit? By not employing it. By not engaging it. Do you know that Paul spoke to Timothy? He says, stir up. Did he say something like that? The gift of God that is in you. But recent version did not just say stir up. They say fan to what? To flame. Until it catches fire. Friends, even spiritual life becomes dead. Not just because of sin, but because of inaction. So the first thing you are going to overcome is idleness. But some of you think that when I talk of idleness, I'm talking of activities. Do you know that some of you are running up and down with activities, but your inner man is completely idle? I want you to engage. What did I say you should do? Engage your spirit. Engage your inner man in something that keeps it aerated every time. That's why as a young man, I don't blame you when you are doing gymnastic in prayer. All of those things you are doing does not add anything to prayer. Do you understand? It doesn't at all. But you know, God doesn't stop you because as a young person, you need to engage your energy. Yes. So when they say yes, it's okay. It's good. After all, if you are not going to dance disco, you must dance something. Isn't it? So dance in the spirit. Shake your body together and stand for Jesus. That's all right. Engage your spirit. Bring it into exercise to keep your fire. Hallelujah. Even if Satan is lying down low, go and wake him up. What did I say you should go and do? Go and wake Satan. Wake him up for a fight. When you do that, you are developing your muscle. You are keeping your fire active. If there are challenges, it keeps your fire active. So the first thing you must overcome is what? Complacency and inaction. Inaction. I found that my Lord Jesus Christ never was idle. Say, my Father works. Either to I do what? I walk. You must overcome dissipation. That's the second thing you must overcome. What did I say you must overcome? Dissipation. What is dissipation? Dissipation is imperceptible loss of energy. Imperceptible loss of energy due to lack of concentration and focus. Dissipation is a scattering of your strength, of your affection, of your emotion, without knowing that you are losing weight. Those who want to keep their spiritual fervency, the second thing they must overcome is what? Dissipation. Dissipated energy, loss of energy, loss of focus, loss of direction. Getting yourself to be involved in everything that is everywhere. No. You must decide, what must I engage my life in that increases my fire? You know, I want to be on fire. That's what I want to say to you finally. I, Brother Gwile, I want to be on fire. I don't know about you. Do you also want to be on fire? You want to be on fire. You want to be hot. That if anybody come near you, they say, this man is very hot. How do I do that? I must learn to insulate. Insulation. How many of you know the principle of the thermal flask? You don't know. The principle of the flask is the principle of insulation. Number one, you want to make sure that you reduce dissipation of heat to the barest minimum. And to reduce dissipation, you increase insulation. And what we have done is to create two walls. In between the flask, the bottle inside, is a two wall. And in between the two wall, there's a vacuum. So that convection cannot take place. There'll be nothing to convey heat from this wall to that wall. There's a vacuum. And then, when you have created that vacuum, then you go and put it in a woolen insulation that does not allow conduction. So when you have flask that have been properly vacuumed and then insulated, you can keep your heat for a long time. So I want to talk to you finally about the principle of insulation. Insulation. Conservation of the heat that God has given you, meanwhile, while you are seeking to increase it, insulate it. And the first place to insulate, in order to keep yourself fervent, the insulation of your heart. Proverbs 4 says, with all diligence, do what? Keep your heart. For out of it are what? The issues of life. The word keep or guard your heart actually is insulate your heart. Don't let everything that is happening outside penetrate your heart. Keep your heart intact. Because that's where the issues are. That's where your fire can be kept. That's where you can remain intact. That's where God wants your life to generate from. Insulate your heart. Insulate it from fire extinguishers. Hallelujah. Do you know there are brothers, they are so-called brothers. Sometimes we call them senior friends in those days. I know you have good senior friends now, but in those days, there are some senior friends that are fire extinguishers. When the Spirit of God has come upon us and we are praying, oh, hallelujah, God, you're going to give us this. Some of those senior friends stand and say, brethren, we came to this campus to read. Even though we are praying, but we are not here to pray. You don't have to knock your head on the ground before Jesus answers you. I don't know what you are doing, jumping up and down for 30 minutes, say you are praying. The Bible says, before you mention it, God has already heard you. What is that, man? These are fire extinguishers. You know, for us, what we did in those days, we avoided them. When we saw them, say, good morning, sir, and then we ran away. Because if you stay there with them for 20 minutes, what you have been gathering for the past 2 weeks, they will quench it that day. Insulate yourself from fire extinguishers. Tend your fire until it becomes unquenchable. Hallelujah. Keep company with those who also are on fire. Fire begets fire. I say you should keep company with which people? Those that are on fire. Look for people that are of great inspiration. If you have a brother, every time he comes to you and you are reading your Bible, he says, bro, are you the one who crucified Jesus? And he will use his hand to close the Bible for you. That's a fire extinguisher. But if you meet a brother that when he's praying, you kneel down near him and he's praying and your own prayer life is fired up, that's the brother to go near. Are we together? There are some young girls that are fire extinguishers. Sister, are you hearing me? There are many of them fire extinguishers. When you move near them, what they will say is that when will you stretch your hair? That's their discussion. He said, do you know that I got a necklace? He has never come to say there was one Bible verse that God revealed to her the last time she was praying. She's only talking about the color of the shoes and the hair tie. If he stays with you for 3 hours, you cannot remember your Bible. And when she leaves you for another 3 hours, you are worried about all the clothes that you don't have. What do you do with that kind of girl? Avoid her. It's a fire extinguisher. A man that wants to keep his spiritual fervency must know the principle of insulation. The Bible teaches it so much. May the Lord help you in the name of Jesus. Finally, we are praying on this. How can I advance my fire? How can I advance it? Number one, forgetting those things that are behind. Don't focus on your past. What has passed, has passed. Am I right? Your achievement that has passed, where is it? It has passed. Your failure that has passed, what has happened to it? It has passed. Those who want to advance their fire, they learn to forget the past. They learn to maximize their present opportunities. So Paul said, one thing I do. I'm forgetting the past, but I'm pressing, I'm reaching out, I'm stretching if I may lay hold of what lies ahead of me. Great things has happened in time past, but it's finished. Let it go. Look for something fresh. Don't keep telling history. Look for what lies ahead now. Don't keep saying when we were. How old are you that you are using past tense to describe yourself? Tell somebody on my right, say, don't become history in your young age. Take a decision from tonight and say, Father, I'm pressing on. I want my today to be an increase of my yesterday. And I'm looking forward that by tomorrow, where I will be higher than where I am today in God. May God help you. I say, may God help you.
Amen.
Pack out your old ashes from your fireplace. When you are using firewood, you know there comes a time when all the ashes fill up your fireplace. What do you do to them? You pack them out. The reason is because burnt ashes, they are the greatest fire extinguisher. If you have seen the fire brigade, their greatest instrument to quench fire is what? Ashes. The reason is because ashes have been burnt. It's no more combustible. Your past burnings has burnt. It cannot burn again. It can only quench your fire. So those who want to advance their fire, what do? They pack out their past burnings. And they look for fresh wood. They push in fresh wood so that their fire can glow. As you pray with me tonight, Jesus said, to him that overcometh, as I myself have overcome. So, what am I talking about tonight? I'm talking about people who will be overcomers with their fire. May God make you one of them.
Amen.
I want to be one of them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want that if Jesus tarries, I will be one of those overcomers who refuse to be quenched, who refuse to be put on the shelf. I'm trusting that by the grace of God, this fire that he has kindled on my heart will only glow more and more and more. I am begging God that I will die on fire. Are you hearing me? I'm not going to be one of those that cools off. They say, where is Ragulina? I say, he has cooled off. No. I'm trusting that his temperature in my life will be on the increase until he calls me home. I don't know what is your own prayer, but that's mine. That's my prayer. I'm trusting God that yes, God will give me many, many disciples. They will be growing, they will be doing well. But no matter how they grow, they will grow their own life, they will be their best for God. But it will never quench my own fire. God will make me a fire lighter that lightens other people's fire, but my own never quenches. As you pray with me tonight, as you pray for yourself, I want you to say to God, the counsels you give to those who increase their fervency, I will take it. I am making a choice under you tonight, O God, that I will not quench like a smoke. Tell somebody that on your journey, you won't quench, you won't die out like a smoke. Smoke. When fire has quenched, it produces smoke. Those of you that have been near fire, when fire has quenched and it releases smoke, do you know how it pains the eyes? Eh? It's terrible for a man who had been on fire to become ordinary smoke. It peppers people's eyes. It brings more darkness to people. I want you to trust God. I'm not ending on my path like ordinary smoke. I'm not going to disappear like a smoke. The path that you have brought me through, oh God, is a path of glowing. I will be aglow. Tell somebody, you will be aglow in the name of Jesus Christ. You will pray with me tonight. I decided that tonight, because it's cancels, that's why I'm speaking to you like that. But now we have come to a point where we need to talk to God together. For the past 2 nights, we have been talking, we have been praying. Several people have been responding to God. God has been calling people out of their lukewarmness. But tonight, there's a different angle of prayer we are going to pray. I told you that by law, by the nature of thermodynamics, thermal energy is not static. The law of entropy is a universal law. The law of entropy says every heat energy must return to zero. That's the law. That no matter how hot anything is, it is hot only to cool down. That's the simple law. So if you don't want it to cool down, what must you do? You must continue to increase the heat. So whether you are a big man of God or a small man of God, the law of entropy is likely to affect your life. You are likely to cool down if you don't do something deliberate about it. So the first angle of prayer, we're going to pray for a few minutes before I release you. And the first prayer is, Lord, what makes people to cool off? Don't let it happen to me. Some people cool off with old age. Abi? Some people cool off when they get married. Some fervent sisters cool off when they became pregnant. You say, sister, you say, well, you know I'm married. You know we are married. You know we are married. I wish I were like you. But now I am married. May marriage not quench you in the name of Jesus Christ. It was such sisters I was seeing all my years that once they get married, they go cool off, that made me to say I will not marry. Because all of them I saw, once they got married, we never hear them again. I said, God, if marriage quenches people, why do you want me to marry? But I thank God today that you can marry and be more on fire. Especially when you marry a fire brand. Tell somebody by your side, if you are not married, those of you that are not married, let me see your hand up. I need to cancel you. Aha, aha. Now, tell somebody by your side and say, you are not married. Make sure you marry a fire brand, not a fire extinguisher. Some people say, well, I am married, but I married a fire extinguisher. We are going to pray for you that God will deliver you by putting a fresh kerosene into that woman and she will catch fire in the name of Jesus. So we are going to pray the first prayer. And I want you to join that prayer. Father, the law of entropy that says every energy generated normally returns to the deep, where the resultant energy becomes zero. Say, God, that law is the natural law. It will not apply to my life. Lord, what makes people to cool off? What makes powerful preachers to cool off? What made great singers to cool off? What made effective men to cool off? Father, take it away from my life. Until I see your glory, I will be aglow. Will you pray right now? Stand up and pray if you want. And if you want to kneel down, you can kneel down and say, Father, what makes men to cool off will not come my way in the name of Jesus. Please pray. Lift up your voice. Speak it out to God. You want to speak it out in a language you understand, or you want to pray anyhow, feel free to pray now. Say, Father, having started with me, having kindled me up, having visited my life, having saved me, oh God, what makes me to cool off? What reduces them to ordinary ashes? What makes them to tell story in their lifetime? What makes you not to see something serious with them? Don't let it come my way. If it's already there, uproot it for me in the name of Jesus. Maraba shanda ba kondorobosko. Mako robo samba raba shinda kabi. Leko sakaye. Dosobo shekatara basahi. Lord, Lord, you have started a good work in me. You have started something in my life, oh God. I don't want to cool off. I know it's natural for a man to lose energy. I know it's natural for a man to die out. I know it's natural, oh God, for the oil to finish in the lamp. I plead with you tonight. Fill me afresh. Fill me afresh. Fill me with your spirit. Fill my lamp, oh God. Fill my lamp, oh God. Fill my lamp, oh God. I refuse to quench like smoke. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Maybe some people are justified to cool off. Maybe they are burnt for a long time until they are burnt out. But you are too young to burn out. So you are going to pray now and say, God, burnt out experience. Those that are burnt out, they don't have capacity for fresh fire again. They are already burnt up. I want you to pray right now and say, Father, burnt out experience that makes a man to exhaust himself when he has not achieved anything. I am too young to be burnt out. Will you pray and say, Father, not in my youth will I get burnt out. Not now will I get burnt out. What you began to say about me, what you began to promise me, what you began to speak to my life, I will not become ordinary ash. Lord, you will help me not to be burnt out. Not burnt out, not burnt up. I will be burning for you. Fill my life with your lamp. Fill me with the oil. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Shima katara basando roboshi. Lord, I'm still telling you, I'm too young to burn. I can't be burnt out now. Lord, I refuse to be burnt out now. What have I seen in my lifetime that I want to be burnt out? Lord, renew my fire. Renew my fire. Release freshness into my life. Freshness into my spirit. Freshness. Freshness. Freshness of your grace and power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this is a critical prayer we are praying. Those that are married here, I want you to present your marriage to God and say, Father, if my marriage is beginning to mar my fire, I want you, Lord, to pump me afresh. Don't let my marriage be my sinking sand. But those of you that are here to get married and you are at the age of choice, can we invest prayer for this 1 minute? Say, Father, I'm not going to marry a fire extinguisher. No matter how sugar-coated his mouth or her mouth is, fire extinguisher like Jezebel, fire extinguishers like Delilah, you will bring to my life, not a fire extinguisher. Invest prayer right now. All the married people, let's pray for your marriages. Set our marriage on fire, oh God. Use my wife to push me forward. Use my husband to raise me. Lord, I pray for the young people. Pray for my friends, my brothers and sisters. I am standing with them tonight. I'm standing with them tonight. I'm standing with them tonight. Your marriages will never be the sinking pot. You are not entering the sink. You are rising. You will rise with your marriage. You will rise with your marriage. Glory to God. Glory to God. Maraba Sambo Robosh. Desebo Roko Tanka Samba Yaba Kundo Roboshi. Rima Sakata Yaba Kundo Robo Samba Raba Shinda Bakuri. Lord, Lord, we pray tonight. We pray tonight, oh God. There is fire brands. People you can join tail to tail, and they will go and burn for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for answering our prayer. Thank you for doing what a man cannot do in the lives of these people. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. One more. The devil is the most wicked fire extinguisher. He's actually going up and down looking for young fires to quench. He wants to quench it with immorality. Do you know that there are sisters that will have been great, but they have been quenched? Immorality quenched them. Some are nursing unwanted baby now. Some of them, they are permanently infested with HIV. They don't have hope of living. These were men born to be great. The devil quickly quenched them. He was always looking for opportunity to quench fires. Tonight we are praying. You know, I'm making it a matter of prayer first before anything else. I want you to pray and say, Father, you that protected Moses when he could have been quenched when he was young, you even protected Jesus from Herod when he was young. You kept Samuel. Even though Phinehas and Ophni, they are very terrible people. God protected Samuel. I want you to say to God tonight, Father, the way you normally tend your fire until they became unquenchable, I put my life in your hand tonight. You are God who preserves people. Preserve my life. Preserve my life. Don't let the wicked enemy quench me now. Father, I am standing before you. I'm believing you that my life will not be quenched. Those things are quenches men. Satan, who is the chief quencher of fires, it will not find space to quench your life. I want you to pray and say, Father, you that keep me to the end, you will keep my life. Keep my life. Keep me, oh God. Keep me. Thank you, Jesus. Majatako Rebasa Akaro Shemawe Usaba Wakowa Sayebo Imaku Sekale Iyote Shubara Aleko Sayebo Tamama Savior, 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 yeah. My humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Why, Lord, dost thou art calling? Do not pass me by. Savior, yeah, and my humble cry. Why, Lord, dost thou art calling? Do not pass me back. Thank you. Thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for answering our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your counsel in our lives. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. It's a song I learned to sing some years ago. I must overcome, I must overcome, because of Jesus, I must overcome, I must overcome, I must overcome, because of Jesus, I must overcome, oh yes, I must overcome, I must overcome. Because of Jesus, I must overcome. Oh yes, I must overcome. Baba, I must overcome. Because of Jesus, I must overcome. You will do that some 3 times while you are saying to God, whatever the devil is planting on my path, whatever the trap he has set for me, whatever temptation he has been putting across me, as you overcame, I will also overcome. Will you sing that song 3 times with me? I must overcome. I must overcome. Because of Jesus, I must overcome. Amen. I must overcome. I must overcome. Because of Jesus, I must overcome. I must overcome.
I must overcome.
I
must overcome.
Because of Jesus,
I must overcome.
Finally now, oh, I must overcome. Yes,
I must overcome.
Because of Jesus,
I must overcome.